Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Steph Neugebauer, here with my friend and co-worker, the Reverend Andy Becker. So typically, listeners, when I have a co-host, Tiffany has joined me. Don't worry, she's still around. But we have a new team member, Andy, who will be co-hosting this season, which is season 9 with me. Andy, welcome to Friends for Life. Welcome to this new additional seat also as co-host for this season. First of all, tell us about this season. And then maybe equally as important, I want you to introduce yourself.
Great. Yeah, this season we're going to be talking about family discipleship. Family discipleship is really taking our faith that we want to live out in our whole life and bringing it into our homes. And so we'll be talking about that with a lot of awesome guests this season. But first, let me, I guess, introduce myself a little bit more. My name is Andy Becker. I'm the manager of family discipleship here at the Office of National Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, newly in that role. And so I get to now newly be in the seat as Steph's co-host for Friends for Life, at least for this season. Glad to be here. I've been married. It'll be almost 22 years to my beautiful wife, Nikki. We have two sons that are 16 and 12, and we love doing lots of things together with our family. We love doing music stuff together. Both my wife and I have musical talents. I think hers are stronger than mine, but then just our boys have just gone along with that as well. So we do that individually, but we get to do that together sometimes. And then we love playing games together. Card games, strategy games, lots of fun just being together as the family. I'm a pastor. I've served in a parish in Missouri for almost 15 years before starting this position. Before coming to the seminary, I was a director of Christian education, a DCE in Texas for about 3 years. During that time, I saw the need for family, to help families, and so also started a master's program in family life education through Concordia University in Nebraska, which I finished while I was at seminary.
Are there other certifications you could possibly have, or have you maxed out?
Yeah, I don't think I'm trying to get other other letters after my name or anything like that. I think I'm good. So
that's so impressive. It's good to have you on, to be working with you. It's actually been fun to get to know you. I've even gotten to meet your wife, Nikki. She's great. And to be able to kind of put some legs on a ministry that has been set aside for a little bit, but through LCMS conventions and resolutions, we have decided as a church, family ministry, family discipleship, we need to focus on this. This is something we should be doing. And enter in Andy, who now fills this role that's been vacant for over a decade, to be able to guide our church, connect you with districts, congregations, individuals. What does family ministry look like in your own home?
So when Nathan was born, that's our oldest son, we knew that we had a responsibility to have him know Jesus. That was one of our roles as parents, was to introduce him to Jesus and to be God's voice to him. And so Nikki and I, from the first days we brought him home, began praying over him. And we did that very simply with the Lord's Prayer and just a simple children's prayer. And then I have closed kind of every night with those prayers of just making the sign of the cross, tracing that over his forehead, just like he received in his baptism. And so that's what we've done from day one with our boys. And so they've experienced that prayer and blessing almost every night of their lives. And still as 16-year-old and a 12-year-old come up looking for that blessing from their dad every night. And, you know, there's been times where as they do what they see, there's been times where they've turned around and give that blessing right back to me, where I would say, Jesus loves you and so do I, as I trace the cross on their forehead. And then they would do that to me. And just for me, that was different. I'd never done that before when we did that with them. But for my boys, it would be weird or strange not to do that. That's continued, and we've built upon that very simple. It took added maybe 90 seconds to our evening routine that we were already doing with our kids. But then that's grown to prayers that we add on to that in the evening that include prayers of, "Dear God, I'm thankful for," and that was the prompt, you know, to pray. And then, "Dear God, please help," and that was the prompt for our prayers. We've changed kind of that children's prayer, and now that's Luther's evening prayer that we say after the Lord's Prayer every night. We've added in kind of a song or a hymn that we'll do together most nights as part of that. Mealtime prayers that we'll do, often we'll do like "Come Lord Jesus" for that, but some we've also trained our boys to be able to lead a prayer just off the top of their heads to thank God for the food and the fellowship that we have there. And oftentimes I'll ask them to lead the prayer when we have company over to give them some of that leadership experience of what it means to be a leader in their own home someday. We've done Bible storybooks and as for devotional material as we dive into God's word. For us and our family, the most often that looks like taking a little extra time before we get up, before we all go our separate ways in the morning, and just doing a Bible story together as we read and walk through those things. Again, those the kind of Bible we read from has changed as our boys have gotten older, but that idea of doing that together. Even though for a while that meant me getting up earlier, because I'm not a morning person. So that meant me getting up earlier to make sure that we had time to do that together as a family before we went our separate ways with school and work.
That's still not happened to me very often. I got goosebumps when you said that you made the sign of the cross over your kid's forehead every night to remember their baptism, to remind them of their baptism. Because I think we do that too. So maybe that's part of the reason why I was just like, wow, what the other families are doing now. But also, you are living what family ministry is and teaching your kids and reminding them that this is your identity in Christ. And this is just who we are.
Yeah. And just, I've always wanted the, you know, there's so many different messages that my kids hear throughout the day. Some from me, probably not all good, if I'm being honest. Some from others, from other sources of media that they're intaking or whatever they're doing. But the last things they hear every night is the voice of their father reminding them about Jesus' love and about his love. And so just to bless them in that identity that they are loved and secure, no matter what other messages they've heard, that's the last one they hear every night.
I'm going to share, and then I'll let you share what you're hoping for our listeners. If there's one thing I want our listeners to hear throughout this season, and I hope that more than law, more than do this, what you hear is the encouragement and Christ has done for you and flows into bringing that into our families. My hope is that when people listen to this season, whether you are a lay person, so just an average person in the pew, or whether you're a church worker, if you feel there is something more that you're charged to do in your home, that you realize that it can be simple, that it can take a minute and a half at nighttime. You'll hear from Dr. Bierman, if you're just spending 10 minutes a day, it does not have to be overwhelming. And you can start very simply. I remember when we brought Judah home, who was our firstborn, my husband's a pastor, and it felt weird for us to pray over our newborn too. For some reason, it felt a little awkward. And my husband, he said this prayer that I do not know why I remember it, but I still say it over all three children at night. And we say, so for instance, JoJo's our youngest. Dear Lord, thank you for baby JoJo, because he's still a baby, for helping him grow healthy and strong. Please keep him safe through the night. Please keep the evil one far from him. Please let him always know that his mommy and daddy love him. Please let him always know that you love him. Let him grow up to be a faithful Christian man. Bless him with a faithful Christian wife. And bless them with beautiful Christian children just like him. And we say it in your name we pray. Amen. That's the prayer that Kirk spoke over our son first night he was home. And that's the prayer we just continue to pray over our children. And so all it takes is to develop a ritual and stick with it. Start simple. Start simply.
And I think you can borrow those from other people. If you don't have the words, you know, borrow from somebody else or write it down if you're not good about making that up in the moment. And it's amazing the things that we say that have become liturgies in your home. You know, the end of our prayer every night is, and thank you most of all for Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. And we, no matter what we've been praying, we all pray that together. And then they receive that blessing that I was talking about earlier. I think for me, it's the very similar to what you said. I hope our listeners, as they hear our guests and hear our conversations, that really family discipleship, it's not about adding anything to your schedule necessarily, but much more about being intentional about what your schedule is. So using the time that you already have, the time that you're already doing these things, and just being intentional with that time to make sure that you're speaking to Jesus and with Jesus and for Jesus in your home, whether that's a home of one person or 100 people, that you're just being intentional about the time that you have, not about trying to add one more thing.
And we'll have guests on this season, especially Dan, who will be our first guest, kind of unpack for us what family ministry means, what we mean by family discipleship. But would you reiterate, what is under the umbrella of family? When we talk about family ministry, what do we mean when we think family?
Yeah, so family, and sometimes we'll use the word family, sometimes we use the word home, sometimes we use the word household. That word does not mean just like a family with young kids. It can mean that, but it's a person, part of a home or a household at any stage of life, and those that they're connected to closely within that home. That's what we mean by family. And so that looks different for almost all of us as we look at that. So grandparents are part of family. A single person, a widower, a couple that's married, a couple that's been, a person that's been divorced. They are all part of a family. And then so because of that, family ministry, family discipleship is also for them.
Friends for Life has done a season on the family, but for that previous season, we focused on family vocation. So we had an episode on fatherhood. We had an episode on motherhood. We had an episode on singleness. Why is this season different in that how are the topics that we're talking about really actually ultimately building the foundation of why we're making a case for family ministry to be important?
Yeah, so I think we're talking here about those matters of faith and how that impacts our life. And for all of us, we were born into a family. Now, that family may have been a good or bad experience for that person as they grew up, but they're still part of a family, even if they're not super connected to those people anymore. And so because that's part of all of life, and because faith is formed through God's word, right, through the Holy Spirit, but it's lived out in our families, in our closest relationships. And so how we do that, how we do that as individuals and as family units and family systems play a huge are a huge factor in if that's successful, meaning does this person make it all the way home to Jesus at the end of their earthly life? So what we do in our families and how we do that and how we partner as the church with families is of vital importance.
As we wrap up, what can listeners expect from this season?
Yeah, so we're going to be talking both, I think, on the framework of why family discipleship and why we do those things and some deeper level thought on some of the theology behind that. But also we're going to be giving very practical kind of things that you as the listener can do. You're going to hear from some experts in the field that are living this and doing this, not only in their congregations, but have been doing this in their families. And so you're going to gain some really great practical things of what you can do, either in your congregation, but maybe more especially within your own home, to bring faith at home and be more intentional about family discipleship.
Thanks, Andy. Well, all I can say is welcome aboard and let's do this.
All right. Thanks, Steph. It's been great to work with you so far, and I'm just excited to be part of this team and excited to be doing family discipleship for our church body to lead on this larger than a congregation, but to help move this forward to impact just our families for eternity.
Yeah. Thank you. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at LCMSLife. And finally, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have an idea about a guest you'd like to hear from or a topic you want talked about? Email us at friendsforlife@lcms.org. We want to hear from you about what you want to hear about when it comes to issues of life.
Thanks for joining us. Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people He has called you to serve, right where you are, in God's mission.